to school, back to school, to prove to Dad that I'm not a fool. I got my lunch packed up, my boots tied tight. I hope I don't get in a fight. Oh, back to school, back to school, back to school. Well, here goes nothing.
Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us in worship. I can tell your taste in movies whether or not you were singing along with that song. You gave yourself away. Every service so far this weekend, I can tell people who love Billy Madison, and I can tell people who are like, what nonsense is that? That was a deeply theological movie by the name of Billy Madison, where Billy's dad owns a company, and Billy wants to be able to run the company. But the problem is that Billy dropped out of school. And so in order to be able to do what he wants to do, he's got to go back to school. The same way that so many people, and see, there's a connection there. The same way so many people in our community are getting ready to go back to school. Can you believe that it's time to go back to school? That's absolutely crazy. It literally feels like it was just a few weeks ago that we were celebrating. Well, actually, the teachers and the students were celebrating the end of the school year. All the parents were like, oh my goodness, we have to have them all summer. And now the parents are celebrating that it's time to go back to school. But this, all jokes aside, it's a really important time of year. It's an important time of year because it's kind of a way that we set the clock, so to speak, in so many of our lives. It's the rhythm of our lives. But it's also so important because this is a time that's really, it's so influential in so many people's lives. We all have teachers that have made a difference in our life. The teachers, so many of the teachers, and I just grabbed a handful of them, that put up with me as a student, changed who I was, helped to form me into who I am. I'll never forget Mrs. Nelson, Joan Nelson. She was my teacher when I was a fifth grader. She was a teacher in one of the more kind of like tumultuous times in my life. Why was it such a difficult year for me? Well, January of my fifth grade year, I was diagnosed as type 1 diabetic. So my life, like it changed. Like one day I was healthy, I was at school. The next day, well, I wasn't healthy. You could tell I was sick. But the next day I go to the doctor and I find out that I'm diabetic, and everything changed. And Mrs. Nelson, that year, after I was diagnosed, I went back to school. From January to the end of school year, I literally spent almost more time with Mrs. Nelson than I did with my own family. And I will never forget. I will never forget the way in which Mrs. Nelson, she would do it discreetly. She wouldn't do it in a way that was like demonstrative, but every day she'd ask me like, how are you doing? How are you doing? How are you doing? She would make accommodations to make sure that I was able to participate in things. Like one of the things she did is she had this M&M jar, and like if a student did something well, you could take a plug of M&Ms. Well, she would kind of do one that had like sugar-free candy, because at that time you couldn't have any sugar if you're diabetic. And I'll never forget the most powerful thing that Mrs. Nelson did wasn't like to give me sugar-free candy, though it was much appreciated. But as she told me time and time again that, Jeremy, this isn't going to change who you are as a person. Mrs. Nelson died 12 years ago, and I never had the opportunity as an adult to say thank you to her. Someday when I get to heaven, I'm going to have an opportunity to tell Mrs. Nelson what a difference she made in my life. Mr. Askruth, Coach Askruth, he was my eighth grade science teacher. He was also one of my high school basketball coaches. I know what you're thinking. In Fargo, North Dakota, you can be 5'10 and play high school basketball. It's different up there. I wasn't even really small up there, but here, it's like the land of the giants. I don't know what it is. But Mr. Askruth, he was incredible. He was amazing. And Mr. Askruth, he just believed in us. He believed in me. Whether I had a good game or a bad game, whether my attitude was really good or whether my attitude, because, you know, shocker, we all have times in life, don't we, when we're competing in things and we have a bad attitude. And even when my attitude suffered, he still believed in me, whether we won, whether we lost, whether we gave 110% or whether we were lacking that day in our effort. And Mr. Askruth would tell me, and he'd tell all of us time and time and time again. And Mr. Askruth is worshiping with us this weekend. Hello, Coach A. that what we do off the court is more important than what we could ever do on the court. Thank you, Mr. Askruth. Gave me perspective. Mrs. Tidd was my high school, Nancy Tidd, she was my high school gym teacher. And Mrs. Tidd had this really unique thing that she would do I thought it was only for me. One day I got home from school and my mom said to me, she's like, hey, you got a letter from Fargo North High School. And I thought my first thing was, what did I do wrong? Like, uh-oh. And she's like, it's addressed to you and to Dad and I. I'm like, double uh-oh, like this isn't a good thing. And we opened it up and it was on official Fargo North Spartan letterhead. And it was a letter from Mrs. Tidd. And she told me and she told my parents what an incredible leader I was. Now, in the following 10 years, I thought I was the only person that got letters from Mrs. Tidd. But at our 10-year class reunion, I realized that she was sending letters like that to everyone. And at our 10-year reunion, we all talked about what a difference it made. That we had somebody who would point out the things that we did and what we could do in our lives. Mr. Disher was my grade school gym teacher. And Mr. Disher taught me the love of activity. He always tell me, even as a little kid, he'd say, hey, enjoy today. Enjoy today. Enjoy today. I can still hear Mr. Disher's voice in my mind. Like, enjoy today. Enjoy today. It's biblical. Today is the day the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad to enjoy today. Marilyn Guy, Dr. Guy, she was my professor in college who was an education professor. I went to college as a business major. I thought I was going to be a person that would major in business because I was going to be really rich. And then my first day of business class in college, I thought my accounting professor was saying the word debt wrong. I'm like, didn't anybody tell him that the B is silent? And they're like, no, Jeremy, that's debit. And I'm like, what's that? That was my last day as a business major. Last day. And I loved sports. I loved competing. I loved athletics. I wanted to coach because I had coaches who showed me that coaching was more about the people than it was the activity. And so Marilyn Guy, I went to Concordia College in Moorhead, Minnesota, and I remember sitting in Marilyn's office one day, and she said, Jeremy, you're not going to teach for long. And I literally, my honest response was, am I that bad? And she said, no, that you're fine. You're actually really good at it. But she said, Jeremy, I just feel like God's calling me to tell you that he has different plans for you. So teach while you teach, but keep your mind open, your heart open to when God calls you to what's next. Honest to goodness, if it wasn't for somebody like Marilyn, I don't know if I would have been open to hearing God's call for my life. She made a difference for me. Terry Young, she's a professor at Luther Seminary. She just was this safe place to go and to just say, hey, Terry, like, this is what we're learning and this is important and it's good, but Terry, like, I have this vision for what church could be like. I didn't know that there were churches like Hope that existed, but that I felt like God was doing something. And she said, Jeremy, I always follow God's spirit more than the popular opinion of the people around you. Those of you who are going back this week as teachers, as school workers, as administrators, as paraprofessionals. You work in the district office. You work in the schools in any way, shape, or form, whether that's homeschool, private school, or public school. On behalf of all the students in our community, I just got to say thank you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you do. Students, thank your teachers. They're not doing it for the money. And they'll make a difference in your life. And so we do this every year, and we're going to do it again this year. We're going to pray a prayer of blessing over all of the teachers, students, all of the school workers, administrators, district employees. And the reason we're going to say this prayer of blessing is, one, God answers our prayers, God listens to our prayers, we all need prayer. And two, as a reminder for all of us that wherever you go, you go. You bring you wherever it is that you go. And whatever school hallway it is that you occupy, don't forget the gift of what you're bringing to that place. teachers, students, administrators, school workers, school bus drivers, cafeteria workers, paraprofessionals. You bring you, and you are somebody who's been created in the image of God on purpose for a purpose, and you bring yourself to the places that you'll go over the next coming weeks as you go back to school. So if you are a student, now you have to stay standing. And if you don't stay standing, God forgives, but I don't. So stay standing. Whether you're here in person, whether you're worshiping online, whether you're at one of our local sites or one of our campuses, if you are a student, a teacher, if you are a school worker of any shape or form, if you work as an administrator in the district office, I'm just asking, please, would you please stand right now? Can we give God thanks and praise? Now, stay standing. You have to stay standing. And if you aren't standing, would you extend your hand towards some of these people? I see some students who aren't standing right now. I ask that you stand. And let us pray over you. God, thank you. Thank you for the fact that, God, you go with each of these people as they go back to school. We thank you for the gifts, the abilities that you have given each of these people. God, for these students, I ask that you would remind them of who they are. I'd ask that you'd remind them that you love them. I'd ask that you'd remind them that they are light and they shine the light of your love to wherever it is that they go. For these teachers and school workers and administrators, God, I ask that you would give them wisdom and clarity and patience and strength and endurance. God, that you would keep our schools safe. You would allow our schools to be places where we can physically, emotionally, and relationally experience safety. God, we look forward to this year, this school year, and all of the ways in which you will use the people around us to shape us, to form us, to make a difference in our lives. We pray all of these things in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody together said, amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being who you are. You know, worship is one of those things that we gather and we do together, but worship is the place where we gather to in order to be sent. And so thank you for being sent. Fuller Youth Institute did some research some years ago, and they were looking into what do students really need? What are they looking for? What are the primary questions that students are asking? They're studying culture. They're studying the mind of teenagers. They're studying, like, how is it that we encounter? Because generations are changing as rapidly as they ever have before. And so Fuller Youth Institute was looking at what are the primary questions that young people are asking. And what I found when I looked at the research that Fuller Youth Institute did, I don't think that there's any different questions from adults to students. The number one core questions that students are asking, and I think you'd agree with me, that adults are asking as well, is who am I? Like who am I? Like, how do I define? How do I dictate? How do I determine who I am? Like, if somebody were to name me, if somebody were to say, this is who you are, what would they say? And the challenge, I think, that all of us, we encounter in the world that we live in now, we live in a world that we cannot unplug. And it's not that we can't unplug because we don't want to unplug. We can unplug because we have these things that fit in our pockets that are with us wherever it is that we go. And so what we find is what people say and what we see starts to dictate who we think that we are. And it can be incredibly paralyzing because all of a sudden we feel like we're scattered and we feel like we're lost. Also, a lot of times in life, I don't know if you're the same way, but I think for many of us, we believe that who we are is dictated by what we do. One of the things that I came to just a couple years ago is one of the words I was using for my kids all the time is they would do something, and my response to them was, hey, I'm so proud of you. And you're like, well, what's wrong with telling your kid that you're proud of them? It's because I was scared that my kids would think that I was only proud of them if they succeeded in something. I wonder if you get caught in that same place. Thinking only you only are worthy if you do the right things. I tell my kids now, like, hey, I'm super happy for you. Because something goes well, it's like, hey, I'm happy for you. I'm proud because you're a person who was created in the image of God and you're taking breath right now. Who you are is not and never will be dictated by what you do. Because the reality is that the things that we do this side of heaven, at some point, those things are going to come to an end. Like if you were to ask my daughter and my son, like, Jade, who are you? There's a temptation she could say is like, I'm a gymnast, because she loves gymnastics. She can do things. She can flip in ways that I would, like, I pull a muscle just thinking about it. And it's like, yeah, she's a great gymnast. But there is going to be a time, because of age, where she's not going to be able to flip that way anymore. When we just saw it in the Olympics, the greatest gymnast that has ever done gymnastics, she was considered old. And how old was she? 27 years old? My son, he loves sports. He is just starting his football season right now. And let's say that he continues on and he's able to play in eighth grade and in ninth grade and he's able to play in high school. And let's say he's able to play in high school and he's like one of the maybe 1% that's actually able to play in college. And let's say out of that 1% that play in college, he's like the one half of 1% that actually get to play in the NFL. Aaron Rodgers is considered to be incredibly old and he's 40. I don't even remember what 40 was like anymore. What you do is not who you are. You need to remember that. Second core question is, where do I fit? Where do I belong? One of my best friends, his name is Dave. It's when I used to live in Fargo. Dave and I, we figured that in the course of multiple years in a row, we were on average, we were running together 2,000 miles a year. We spent a lot of time with one another. We ran multiple marathons together. He was the best man in our wedding. Dave and I, I just found out that we spent too much time running. And the reason why I almost tripped there is because I spent so much time running that this Wednesday I actually have to have knee replacement surgery. So, and the only reason I tell you that is because you're not going to see me for a while. And I don't want you to think and celebrate and say, they finally got rid of him. Thank goodness. He's gone. I'll be back. But when I am back, I might be on crutches. I've told myself that I'll never use a walker. You want to know what's in our living room right now? A walker. Yeah, there are things that I'm coming to. I'm being humbled in incredible ways. So I'll take your prayers on Wednesday. And we have a lot of support system in our life, so we'll be good. So I just welcome your prayers on Wednesday and in the coming weeks, as that's why I'll be gone. You can't get rid of me. I'm never leaving. But Dave and I, we had run so much together that there came a time in the same year, it was before he got married to his wife Louise, it was before Bridget and I dated and got married. Dave and I both lived in Fargo-Moorhead, the Fargo-Moorhead area. We both were leaving within months of one another. He was moving out to Boston, I was moving to Minneapolis-St. Paul. And so the person that we spent the most time with now, we weren't going to have each other physically like that anymore. And so I'll never forget, a couple months after we moved, Dave called one day and he said, hey, you want to know what's a horrible feeling? I said, what? Said, being surrounded by a sea of people and still feeling all alone, still feeling like I just don't fit in here. We feel that in many times in our lives, don't we? Think about how awful it is that there are students that are going to be going back to school, and when it gets to be like a time like lunch, and they get their lunch, and they go to try to find a table, and nobody's created a space for them. We all want to know that there's a space for us. That's why we encourage you all the time at Hope. Get plugged in. Get plugged in. Yes, Hope can be a very large church. It can feel very large at times. But we only get large once a week. Everything else we do is in small to medium-sized groups. Get plugged in. Get your students plugged in. If you're like, well, I don't know where I'd even start, take Alpha. If you've already taken Alpha, go to our website. We literally have hundreds of opportunities for you to get connected to a small group of people where you can fit in, where you can belong, where you can know that there is a space for you. The third primary question that students and I think all of us ask is, what difference can I make? What do I have anything that could contribute? This question is a question of whether or not I matter. It's a question of significance. Like, is there anything about me at all? Is there one thing about me that could ever be important enough to contribute to the whole? The answer is yes. The answer isn't yes because I just want to make you feel good. The answer is yes because that's what the Bible absolutely points us to again and again and again and again, that you've been created in the image of God on purpose for a person. You look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We are one body made up of many parts, and every part belongs to the body. Romans chapter 12. Paul says the same thing. It's like Paul wants all of the people who follow Jesus to know that who they are matters and you can make a difference. But the challenge in life is sometimes we try to answer these three questions and we look in all of the wrong places. Like, where have you been looking lately? Where are your kids? Where are your students looking? Where are they looking to answer the question of who they are? Where are they looking to answer the question of whether or not they fit in? Popularity? Boy, that's fleeting, isn't it? Boy, that's overrated, isn't it? Where are they looking? Where are you looking to answer the question on whether or not you matter? See, this isn't just a question for us today. This is a question that's been around since the reality of sin. Genesis chapter 3. This is a question that a guy by the name of Nicodemus was really wrestling with. The Bible passage you heard just a few moments ago was from John 3, 16 to 21, one of the most famous passages in all of Scripture. But there is a context to this text. And if we don't know the context to the text, we miss the power of what we hear in God's Word. And there was a guy by the name of Nicodemus. And on the outside looking in, Nicodemus had everything going for him. He was a person who was incredibly religious. He was so religious, he was a Pharisee, and a Pharisee was somebody who knew God's word, and he knew God's law so well that not only could he know it, but he knew how to apply it, and he knew how to communicate it. Not only was Nicodemus a Pharisee, but he was also somebody who would be a part of the Jewish council. Like, he was somebody that people would look to find answers. And so you could look at Nicodemus, and you could say that, wow, my goodness, I mean, he was religious, people looked up to him, he must have had the whole thing figured out. And there are a lot of us and say that I'm really religious and people look up to me, but I don't feel like I have it figured out. And I feel like I'm searching in the dark and I'm trying to find it. I love reading through John's Gospel. And John's Gospel, the story of Jesus, John tells us a bunch of things and John shows us a bunch of things, but John uses language in a way that he paints an incredible picture. And one of these themes that we see throughout the Gospel of John is this theme of light and dark, being able to see and not being able to see, good and bad, holiness and evil. The very beginning of John's Gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And this Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And this Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light that would shine in the darkness, and the darkness would never be able to extinguish the light. Have you ever been caught in the dark before? 3 weeks ago, right now, my family and I, we were driving to Chicago. We had the opportunity to go and spend a week in Denmark. It was the trip of a lifetime. I was speaking at a camp in Denmark. They gave a ticket allotment for us to go over there that would cover the cost of the flight for Bridget and myself. And we figured out, well, Bridget figured out because she loves to investigate things. She figured out that if we would fly out of Chicago, we would save about $2,000, which would almost cover the cost of our kids' plane tickets. And we thought, my goodness, what age is to be able to bring our kids to Denmark? And so the four of us, 3 weeks ago, we went to Denmark. And 2 weeks ago, last Sunday, we flew home from Denmark. The flight that Bridget found that worked best for us is that we would land back in Chicago after staying a week in Denmark. We would land in Chicago at about 6 p.m. And that 6 p.m., we would get our car and we would be able to get out of town, get out of Chicago at about 7 p.m. And so Bridget said to me when she was buying the tickets, you know what? We should just get a hotel room in Chicago because we'll be so tired we would never want to drive home after that whole flight. And I'm like, I can do it. And she's like, no, don't, please don't. Like, I'm like, no, seriously, like, I'll just drive home. We'll fly into Denmark, I'll fly home, and at least we'll all be able to sleep in our own beds that night. And she said, Jeremy, do you realize that if we leave Chicago at 7 p.m., that will be like 2 in the morning Denmark time? You doubting what I can do? Like, I can fit. And she's like, are you sure? I'm like, I'm positive. So we get into our car at 7 p.m. and we leave the city. We start driving home. And the beginning of the trip was, it was awesome. It was great. We were rehashing the trip. It was wonderful. It was light outside. We're talking about highlights, lowlights, what we would do again, what we wouldn't do again. And then we told the kids, like, don't fall asleep until it gets to be about, you know, 10 or 11 o'clock local time, because it's if you fall asleep too early, you're going to mess up your days for tomorrow. So just power through. And so then it got to be about 9 o'clock, the sun went down, and when the darkness came, everything changed. And so Bridget said, you know, hey, we should probably fill the car up with gas, let everybody go to the bathroom, so then you can just make the final shot to Des Moines. Are you okay? And I said, I'm fine. So we stopped, and then we got back in the car. A couple things she told me, she's like, if you start getting tired, wake me up. Second thing she told me is, don't speed. And so we started going, and just a side note, like just a pro tip, the speed limit when you come into Iowa from Illinois, it drops from 70 to 65. I didn't know that. I didn't know that until this last week when I got a letter from the state of Iowa that said I was going just a little bit too fast. So don't speed when you come into Iowa. The second thing is when it gets dark, you get really tired. And like, we were probably 2 hours from home, and I didn't think that there was any way that I was ever going to make it. It was just outside of Iowa City. I woke Bridget up, and I'm like, hey, I'm struggling here. Can you just stay up, and can you keep me awake? And she's like, are you going to continue to move your legs like that? And I said, what? But what I was doing is I was doing this so much. Have you like the silly tricks you do to try to keep yourself awake? I'm going like this the whole time. She's like, can you slow down? I'm like, if I slow down, I'm going to stop. I was like a toddler at the end of the day. I'm like, just moving. Because if you get still, you're going to fall asleep. And she's like, quit moving your legs. I'm like, well, then you got to stay awake. She's like, I don't know if I can stay awake. I said, would you just open your phone and read some trivia to me? And she's like, Jeremy, if I start reading, I'm going to fall asleep. And I'm like, well, there's a problem. Because if you fall asleep, I fall asleep, and I fall asleep, the problems are a lot worse than if you fall asleep. I said, can you just wait? She's like, okay. And Trey woke up for a minute. He's like, Dad, I got you. And that lasted for like 2 minutes. He fell back asleep. And so Bridget stayed awake, and I think for 2 hours, maybe an hour and a half, I just talked to her. I have no clue what I said. She has no clue what I said. I was just talking. Because when I was in the dark by myself, I was incredibly caught in it. I'll never forget, we passed through Newton. We got close to Altoona, and all of a sudden, you could see the light of the city. And when light entered in, everything changed. I said, you can go to sleep now, I'm fine. We know what it feels like to get caught in the dark, don't we? And I'm not talking about a silly trip home from Chicago. This is where Nicodemus was. Look, Nicodemus had everything going for him. Things were great, and still he felt, he comes to Jesus under the cover of darkness. And I believe that John is saying that literally it was dark when Nicodemus came to Jesus. And I believe that Nicodemus came to Jesus under the cover of darkness because he didn't want people to know that he was going to that guy to get some answers to some questions he had. But I also believe that John is making sure that we don't miss the fact that Nicodemus was caught in the dark. Nicodemus comes to Jesus and says, clearly you're somebody who's been sent by God. The works that you're doing, the way that you're interacting with people, it's just different. And Jesus, whatever you have is what I need. We need something more. Nicodemus needed something more. Nicodemus needed more than what he could produce through his own efforts. You need more than what you can produce on your own efforts. It's not me minimizing who you are and what you can do. You're a child of God created in his image. It's me just being honest with you and with myself. Jesus says, Nicodemus, you're trying to find life through the things that you do. But Nicodemus, you need to find life connected to what he's done. Humans can only produce human life, Nicodemus, Jesus, but the Spirit gives birth to a spiritual life. And so then Nicodemus says, well, how do I get it? Which is the context to the most well-known passage in all of Scripture. Jesus says, Nicodemus, it's not what you do, it's what I'm doing. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. We know it, and so many of us have memorized it. But sometimes we know something so well that we miss the power in it. So I just want to slow down a little bit. What does this verse actually say to us? Well, first, it tells us the heart of God. Because God loves. And I don't know whatever picture that you've ever had of God, or whatever picture that maybe somebody has painted out for you about this is how God acts or how God works, and maybe that God is somebody who just is really sparing with his affinity towards you. That's just not biblical. Like, there's nothing that you could ever do that could make God love you anymore. Like, period. God loves you. And you're like, God could never love me because here are all the things that I've done, and because of all the things that I've done, God could never love me. No, God, there's nothing you could do to make God love you any less, and there's nothing that you could do to make God love you any more. It's God's decision, not yours, whether or not he loves you. Deal with it. It's not what you do for God, it's what he has done for you. And this love is... It can feel pretty offensive sometimes to a lot of people. And I think sometimes Christians get hung up on this next part of this passage more than any other thing that Jesus ever said. For God didn't just love, but God loved the world. This word for world in the Greek in the New Testament, the word is cosmos. Cool word, isn't it? And cosmos literally means the world. But you want to know what else cosmos can mean? All created matter, even that acts in opposition of God. You see, the thing that sometimes gets said about the gospel is the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, it can seem offensive at times. Because there's a part of us sometimes that wants to say, well, like, this seems too easy. And this seems like maybe God is willing to love anybody that comes along God's path. And I don't believe, and I don't think that it should be that way. Don't argue with me if that's your sentiment. Take it up with God. Take it up with his word. Am I saying that there's nothing that we do that could act in opposition to the way that God would call us to act? Absolutely not. God has a way, and when we follow God's way, it goes better for us and it goes better for the world around us. But do those things, do they impact the way that God feels about us? Absolutely not. Like, God loved the world. God moved first. And God saw his creation. And his creation was in a place that they weren't going the way that God had called them to go. And so Jesus stepped in. Jesus stepped in under his own will. And so what did he do when he stepped in? He gave his life. You want to know why this passage is so incredibly powerful and well known? It's because John 3:16, it encompasses the gospel. The reason why Jesus came into the world, it encompasses the truth of God's heart and the truth of God's will and the truth of God's desire. God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son. He said, hey, this son of mine is going to be the offering for your sin. And sometimes we wonder, could God love me? This is how much God loves you. And the reason why he gave his life is so that we could have it. His life for our life, really. For this is how God loved the world, that he gave his one and only son, so that everyone who believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. Word belief literally means to put your trust in or to put your confidence in. Doesn't mean that you're going to be absent of questions for the rest of your life. I'm fond of saying that if you ever meet somebody who says that they never have any doubts, run from them because they're not telling the truth. Because we'll go through things in our life where all of a sudden we ask the question, God, where are you? God, how could you let this happen? Doesn't mean that when we believe and we put our trust and our confidence in God, it doesn't mean that we're going to live a perfect life. That's not the expectation. It means that we put our belief and trust and confidence in the fact that God can forgive our sins. And that his death had the power to destroy our death. And our sin, and the forces of evil. And it gives us the freedom to know who we are. And that there's nothing in all of creation that could ever separate us from his love. And it gives us the freedom to follow him and to live the life that he called us to live. We don't live the life that God called us to live because we fear him. An unhealthy fear, I should say. We live the life he called us to live is because when we experience his love, we can't imagine living a different way. Because we understand who we are. It's a movie that came out in 2019, smaller movie, wasn't publicized. It's called The Overcomer. It's about a young woman, her name is Hannah, a young girl, her name is Hannah, and she has a dream. And her dream is that she'd be able to be a running star, a cross-country athlete. But the problem is that Hannah has asthma. She isn't able to run. And so she starts to believe that she can't be who she wants to be because of the things that she's dealing with. Sound familiar? But she has a coach. You could say she has a teacher that comes alongside of her. And first reminds her that her ability to run doesn't define who she is. And the one that defines who she is far more powerful than however long she could run. And it's in that that she discovers something entirely different. Take a look.
Anna, you okay?
Ask me who I am. Ask me who I am.
Who is Hannah Scott?
I am created by God. He designed me. So I'm not a mistake. His son died for me. Just so I could be forgiven. He picked me to be his own. So I'm chosen. He redeemed me. So I am wanted. He showed me grace. Just so I could be saved. He has a future for me. Because he loves me. So I don't wonder anymore, Coach Harrison. I am a child of God. I just wanted you to know.
This again. For this is how God loved you. He gave his one and only son so that when you put your confidence in him, you will not perish, but you will have eternal life. God sent his son into the world not to judge you, but to save you by his grace. Don't ever forget who you are. You're his son. You are chosen. You are loved. You are a child of God, and you belong with him now and for eternity. And you've been saved on purpose for a purpose, to shine the light of his love to the world around you. That's where we find life. A lot of you are going to be going back to school in some way, shape, or form this past week. Don't forget who you are. I've told our kids all the time, know who you are before you go in. Know that you're a child of God and know how much he loves you. It changes everything. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. It's a Mount Rushmore verse for me. This is real love. Don't ever forget this. This is real love. Not that we loved God first, not that you loved God first, not that you somehow had to make a performance so that God would love you, accept you, and think that you're worthy. Not that you loved God, but that he loved you first and sent his son as atoning sacrifice to take away your sin so you would be free to love the world around you. Go live that out, the world around you. Love the world because he loved you. Know who you are before you go into wherever it is that you're going, not just after this worship service, but in your life. We're going to close by singing a song together. So I invite all of you to stand, whether you're here in person, whether you're online. We're going to sing about this God who reigns forever. We're going to sing that, and then we're going to go home. If you are a student or a teacher, this is the last time that you have, this last Sunday that you get to sing in freedom, because next Sunday, you'll be going to school on Monday. So let's sing it out and let's praise this God. Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much for tuning in and joining us for service online.
If this is your first time joining us, welcome. We don't think it's any accident that you're here, and we have been praying for you.
To see more of our content, know when we go live, and stay up to date week to week, feel free to subscribe to this channel.
And if you live close by one of our campuses or local sites, we invite you to check us out in person. We would love to meet you. And don't forget to follow us on social media to stay up to date.
See you next week.